God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. I'm glad that you've joined me as we study God's Word together, for I believe that the Lord has something fantastic for you today that will change your life. I believe Jesus wants to do something better in your life. If you believe it, say amen. That's what Jesus himself said in John 10:10. He said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness, more and better life than you ever dreamed of." Did you hear what the Bible said? Jesus wants to give you a full life, an abundant life, a better life. If you will just follow his ways and obey his word, Jesus will make your life thrive. Just say that after me. Today is my day to thrive. That's why our current teaching series is called Thrive. We're exploring the Bible to find out how we can thrive in every area of life. Today is the sixth week in our teaching series called Thrive, and already we've learned about how we can thrive in everyday life. We've discovered how to thrive in the midst of adversity and how to thrive in our finance. And today we're going to study the topic of how to thrive at your job. Now that may surprise you, because a lot of us don't think God has anything to do with our workplace. We tend to cut God out of our jobs and don't ever really consider if God has anything to say to us about our work. And see, this is one of the problems in the church today. We compartmentalize our lives. We have our social life, our work life, and our church life. And we keep these three separate. We don't mix them. At church, we shout, "Praise the Lord," and jump and shout. But at work, we behave completely differently, and our social life is kept separate from the other two. But friend, God's plan for your life is a good one. It's a plan that covers every area of your life. He doesn't just want to bless your spiritual life at church and ignore the rest of the week. He wants to help you thrive at work, in relationships, at home, in every area. If you'll obey Him and follow His word, then every part of your life can thrive. And when you think about it, work is a big part of our lives. If you're having trouble at work, it can affect every other area. In fact, think about this for a minute. Let's say you work 40 hours a week for 46 weeks a year for about 40 years. You're going to spend 73,600 hours of your life working. That's a big part of your life. You spend more time at work than at church. You spend more time at work than you do eating. Well, at least most of us. And you spend more time at work than you do at school, more time at work than watching television, more time at work than almost anything except sleeping. And some of you sleep at work. But friends, listen, if Jesus wants you to thrive in life, then it must include thriving in your workplace. How could you spend such a big part of your life working and think that God doesn't care about your job? In fact, listen to what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5. It is good for people to enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. That's amazing. God wants you to enjoy your work. It's a gift from Him when you work and can find pleasure in it. And God is interested in your work and cares about your job because He wants you to thrive in every area of life, including work. So how can you thrive at your job? Well, let's discover three truths today that show us just how to do that. The first step is thriving at work is that you have to get an appointment letter. What is an appointment letter? Appointment letter for thriving at work is this. It's when you discover a biblical view of work. You see, thriving at work begins by understanding God's view of our jobs. If we're honest today, most of us would confess we don't have God's view about our work. We have a worldly view of work. We think of work as an unpleasant necessity in life, or we think it's something to avoid. We see work as something we do just to get money to eat. But God sees work completely differently. In fact, one of the ways I know this is because God Himself works. Listen to Genesis 2:2-3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Did you notice something interesting in those verses? The word work is used three times to describe what God did. He worked. So think about it for a moment. If the purpose of work is just to earn a living, why would God work? He doesn't need money. And if work is something unpleasant, then why would God work? And if work is something to avoid, why does God work? The fact is, work is good. God works because work is good. It exists so that God and man can accomplish something good. Listen to what else these verses say. The Bible tells us that God worked and rested on the seventh day, meaning he took one day to rest. It doesn't say he rested forever. It doesn't say he worked 6 days and then retired. God still works today. He's working in here right now. We can also see God's view of work when Jesus came to earth. Jesus worked when he lived on the earth. He spent 30 years working hard as a carpenter and then 3 years in ministry. So if you look down on carpentry work, you're looking down on Jesus Christ. Friend, what's your view of work? You need to get an appointment letter today from God and view work from the Bible's point of view. God works. And the second biblical view of work you need to know is this. Work is not a curse. Listen to Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. The Bible tells us plainly that when God created Adam, the first thing he did was to put Adam in the garden and give him a job. He put him there to work. In fact, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Somebody say amen. In Genesis 2:15, he got his job in Genesis 2:15 and his wife in Genesis 2:18. See, many people mistakenly think that work is part of the curse. They think that Adam and Eve were just relaxing in the Garden of Eden on a perpetual honeymoon, eating and just playing. And then when they fell into sin, God placed a curse on them, and from that time they had to work. But that's not true. God gave them work before they fell into sin. The Bible says plainly that God put them in the garden to work. And God's plan for man to work didn't end in the garden. In Exodus 29, God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It doesn't say you may work if you choose. It doesn't say work if you feel like. Work is a part of God's plan for man. From Adam till now, God tells man to work. The sad fact is, human nature outside of Christ tends to be lazy. We try to get away with as little work as possible. Reminds me of the time a man was showing his friend around his factory. How many people are working here? The friend asked the factory owner. The man replied, oh, about half of them. See, many of us don't like to work. We could avoid it, we would. But the fact is, refusing to work is sin. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 3. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Friends, did you hear that? God commands us to avoid idle Christians. He commands us that if we don't work, we shouldn't eat. He commands us to work and earn a living. Three times God says, I command you to work. So stop making excuses and stop being lazy. Stop begging and start working. I didn't say it. God said it. It's in the Word of God. Now I know you may say, but Reverend, it's difficult to find work. But oftentimes the real problem is not that we cannot find work. It's that most of us don't see a work that makes us happy. We don't see a work we think is suitable to our taste. We don't see a work that will give us the money we want. So instead of working at a job we don't like or working at a job that doesn't pay us what we want, we would rather be lazy and do nothing. But friend, God will bless you when you work, not when you're lazy. There were many applicants and unemployed in the days of Jesus, but he didn't call any of them. He called only those who were already working. And new opportunities will come to you when you're already busy, not when you're sitting around dreaming about it. I started work when I was 15 years old. I was a student in high school, and I started by delivering the daily paper. I worked for the Washington Post in Washington, D.C., where I come from. I would get up at 4:30 a.m. every day, 7 days a week, and deliver papers, whether it was raining or snowing or in the heat of the day, for 7 days a week at 4:30 a.m. when I was 15 years old. Did I like it? No. Did it pay well? Not at all. Did it lead to a promotion in the company? No. But it did something for me. My work worked in me. I became a better person because of my work. I became a person God could bless. And here's a key truth you need to know today. Don't worry about finding the right job. Concern yourself with being the right person for the job, and the job will find you. What is your view of work? If you think work is part of the curse, you'll be lazy and avoid it at every chance. You'll refuse to work. You'll look down on work. If you view work simply as a way to make money so you can eat and buy things, you'll always be looking for a different work with a better pay. And some of you are like that. You've been at 5 jobs in the last 6 months because anytime someone offers you $1 more than what you're getting, you'll run and change your job. But if you view work as God views it, you'll understand that it's part of His plan for your life. It's not a curse. And to thrive at your job is a blessing, as Ecclesiastes told us. To enjoy work is a gift from God. When you see work as God sees it, you'll see it's more than a way to make money. Your job is more than an income. If you see it as God sees it, you'll discover that work is a calling from God. And that brings us to our second truth today. The second step to thriving at work is that you have to get a confirmation letter by discovering your call to work. Friends, if you see work from a Bible point of view, then you'll understand that God has called you to work. He doesn't just ask you to work to make a living or to fill time. He gives you a work because it's part of His plan for your life. There are 3 things the Bible tells us about our call to work. First, you need to know that work is worship. Listen to Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Friends, you may be shocked to hear that work is worship, but that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord as worship unto Him. Not everyone is in a job they love right now. Not everyone feels satisfied in their work. You may be in a job you don't like or in a work environment that isn't your first choice. You may be in a dead-end job that doesn't please you, or in a position that you have to just continue in with perseverance. But sack your wrong thinking today about your job. Do it as unto God, and you'll find joy in the work. For oftentimes, God will give you new doors of opportunities when you're faithful where you are. If you do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, your daily work will become an act of worship. Every task, every day will take on new meaning and purpose because it's done for your Father in heaven. We see this in the life of our Lord Jesus Himself. For 33 years, Jesus worked on earth. For 30 years, He worked as a carpenter, and for 3, as a preacher and teacher or healer. Do you know what He did the rest of His life? He worked. Mark 6:3 tells us the people who knew Jesus said, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son?" He learned the trade from his earthly father, Joseph. He probably carried on the family business. So for 30 years of his life, Jesus worked as a carpenter, and then 3 years as a preacher or teacher. But friends, let me tell you something today. God the Father was just as pleased with Jesus when He was building benches as when He was preaching the gospel. John 8:29, Jesus said, "I always do what pleases Him." Always. In other words, there was no time in His life when He was less pleasing to God. He was just as pleasing to God when He was hammering nails into wood as when nails were hammered into Him on the cross. He was just as pleasing to the Father when he was cutting wood as when he was cutting down the devil. He was just as pleasing to God when he was selling furniture as when he was saving souls. How can this be? Because everything Jesus did was an act of worship to the Father. When he built a table, he did it to glorify the Father. When he sold a chair, he did it to glorify the Father. When he roofed a house, he did it for his Father in heaven. When he preached the good news, when he healed the lepers, when he died on the cross, he did it all for the glory of the Father. Every work was an act of worship. And so it must be in your life too. Every job you hold, every task you perform, every day at work can become an act of worship when your heart motive is to please your Father in heaven. We can see that in the life of the prophet Daniel. He was a civil servant. He worked at the ministries. He held a government position. But Daniel did not see himself as working for man. He didn't view his job as something separate from his prophetic ministry. In fact, he saw all that he did as service to God. And it became evident to everyone who knew him that his work was his worship. Even his boss, the king, knew that about Daniel. Listen to Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and left there overnight. In the morning, the king came, and this is what he said. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Friends, this truth about work being worship is not just for special people like Jesus and Daniel. It applies to you too. Listen to Ephesians 6, 5-8. "Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free." Martin Luther said, "The maid who sweeps kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." See, when your work is worship, it will become a witness to others. Work is in fact a witness to the world. Listen to Titus 2, 9 and 10. "Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive." You can make the teaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ, attractive to unbelievers when you work faithfully. Many of us come late to work. But the funny thing is, we don't practice late coming when we're closing from work. We may ignore the clock when reporting to work, but we count the seconds when it's getting close to closing time. Many of us spend an hour or more a day at our jobs checking our Facebook page and posting comments to our friends. Many of us read the daily paper or take long breaks or chat on the phone and do all sorts of personal errands while at work. Then we pray and ask God to bless and promote us, and we wonder why it doesn't happen. Friend, you cannot cheat your employer and expect God to bless you. You can't steal from your boss and expect God to favor you. We have a serious problem in the church today because our religion doesn't seem to have an impact on our life. We claim all kinds of spiritual maturity, but our lives deny the reality of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one example as it relates to work. There are some churches that hold 21 days all night. Well, that may sound like a good thing, but how can you do 21 days all night and still perform your duty at work the next day? If you pray all night and sleep all day at the office, are you a witness or a hypocrite? I'm in favor of 21 day all night. I believe we should pray, but if you're going to do 21 days all night, you should do it during your annual leave. Don't use all-night prayer as an excuse to sleep at the job. What type of witness are you for Christ? We Christians need to examine our work ethic. What is your view of work? Do you see it as a curse? Do you see it as a means to get money? Or do you see it as a calling from God? For if you view your work as worship to the Lord and witness to the world, then you'll do it with all your heart. You'll see yourself as a missionary to your working place. You'll want to be the best worker you can be so that others will be won to Christ through your witness. You'll do your very best every day so that the Word of God will be attractive to unbelievers when they see your good works. Let's be frank today. Do business owners want to hire Christians? Do people prefer to do business with believers? If not, why not? We Christians should be the best workers. We should be in high demand. Our work should be the best output in the whole world. Our work should have the highest standard on earth. People should be begging for us as Christians to come and join their company. But is that the case? See, when you work hard for Jesus, it will be a witness to others. It will bring blessing to God and to the people you work for, but it will also bring blessing to you. It will make your work worthwhile. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3, 12 to 13. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Work, when done as worship and when done in such a way that it is a witness for Christ, will be worthwhile. No matter the salary you receive or the prestige of your position, God will give you satisfaction for a job well done when it was done as unto Him. Then you'll be able to thrive at work, knowing that God is pleased with you. And that brings us to our final truth today. You need to get a promotion by discovering God's favor at work. How can you thrive at work? It's more than just a pay increase. It's more than just a prestigious title or position. It's more than being given a company car or a company housing allowance. We thrive at work when we experience God's favor in all we do. I'd like to close today by telling you a story about a manager in a company who was looking for someone who he could use as assistant manager. This manager was often traveling and would be away for long periods of time, so he needed someone who would follow his directions completely. He needed someone he could trust, so he advertised a low position of a day laborer. Well, men gathered and he told them what to do. When the crowd gathered of applicants, he gave them a work to do. He said, there's a pile of blocks here. I want you to move them over to the other side of the compound. So all day, the day laborers came and moved the pile of blocks over to the other side. And when they'd finished and the pile of blocks were there, the owner said, now move them back to the other side. And so it went back and forth every day. Well, many of the men did not understand what the manager of the company was telling them to do. Many of them didn't value the work they were doing, and they didn't see any purpose in it. So they started grumbling and complaining. One by one, these men quit and left the work, until finally there was only one man left. He was a different man. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. He understood the biblical view of work, so he worked as unto the Lord. When others murmured, he just kept moving blocks. When others quit, he just kept moving blocks. Finally, he was the only one left at the site. Then the company owner promoted him and made him a manager in the company because he saw his faithfulness to the work. Friends, when you work as unto the Lord, it will not only bless God and bless others, but it will bless you as well. It will lead to significance. It will bring prosperity to you. It will bring you promotion. That's how you can thrive at work. Friends, I want to encourage you today. If you're looking for work, maybe you're in a difficult situation right now, you're praying for a job, I want to pray with you and trust God that He will open a door for you. But remember, when you get that job, when God answers your prayer, work isn't something you do simply to get money. Work isn't a part of the curse that you try to avoid. But see that work that God opens for you as a calling from God. Become a missionary at your working place. Let the way you work be a witness to the world and a worship to God. Then you'll be in a position where God will promote you and you will thrive at your job. If you need a job today or you need a new position, just put your hand on your chest as I pray for you. Almighty and everlasting Father, you have said that you desire us to thrive in every area of our lives. I pray right now for every man or woman, boy or girl listening to this broadcast. I ask you, Lord, to open up positions for those that have no work. I pray that you'll clear away the obstacle and give your people good and decent jobs. But Lord, I also pray that they will become good and decent workers. I ask you today, Lord, to touch the lives of your children, that they will become a people who can work as worship and work as a witness to the world. Touch our hearts and lives today. Take laziness away from us and give us a desire to be a people who live as a witness and thrive in every area of our lives. We thank you now and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I trust the Word of God is transforming your life. Don't miss next week as we come to the conclusion of our Thrive teaching series as we talk about thrive in your relationship. Until next week, may God richly bless you. Goodbye for now.
It's another opportunity for you to worship God. Come join Heart Song on the 17th of March, 6 p.m. for a night of adoration. Theme is the battle cry of praise. No matter your situation, come join us, praise our God. See you there.
This program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at the same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.